In Philippians 2, the Bible instructs us to do everything without murmuring and disputing. Paul reminded the believers that they were living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and that they should shine as lights in the world. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliott talking with you again this week on A Call to Masculinity. Some years ago, five American men spent 80 days in a space capsule. There was no local vertical. In other words, they couldn't tell which end was up because they were living in a cylinder. Gravity didn't operate, and because of that, the men said that they were really miserable. They couldn't take showers because water doesn't fall where there's no gravity. They couldn't take baths because water didn't stay in the bathtub. It floated in globes around the room. One of the most difficult and tricky operations was trying to eat, picking up the food on their forks and moving it toward their face at the same speed that the food was going to move. Otherwise, the food would fly off the fork and plaster egg all over their faces. They couldn't keep books closed. The pages of books would fan open. One man, who had short blonde hair, looked like a furious sandstorm all the time, his hair standing on end. One man said he tried to turn a screw and found his entire body revolving as it floated in the air. During those 80 days, they had 16 sunsets and 16 sunrises every day. When asked later on what that experience of weightlessness was like, one man said, "It's so lousy, I don't even want to talk about it." Man needs a local vertical, a point of reference. Now, what is our point of reference when we're talking about masculinity? What model do we have of true manhood? Well, Christ himself. Christ, his manhood began at the age of 12, with serious thinking, with work, with being about his father's business, with subjection to discipline and authority. It had obviously begun before that because, as you remember, when Jesus was 12, he went into the temple and was teaching the scribes and the Pharisees, and his parents thought he was in the company as they traveled back home from Jerusalem, found that he wasn't. 3 days later, discovered him teaching these learned men in the temple. And it says he went back with his parents and was subject to their discipline and authority. His ministry meant sacrifice, and his life was lived for others. I've often said to women, and I have so many more opportunities to speak to women than I do to men, but I've often said that our essence, the essence of our femininity, is surrender. And I believe that. But of course, each time I say anything like that, I get a flood of letters from women who want to know if I am asking them to surrender to an abusive or alcoholic husband. And of course, that's an extremely difficult question, and it's not one that I wanted to get into in today's program. But what I do want to emphasize to you men to whom I am talking today is that manhood means the acceptance of responsibility. And that does mean sacrifice, doesn't it? Your responsibility to complete your job effectively and as required certainly involves many kinds of sacrifice. Sometimes you may have to work overtime, which means sacrificing time at home, time with your family. Sacrifice is a part of life. It's not something unusual. What was God's idea of masculinity in the very beginning? God made man first. Then he made the woman for him as a responder. This is what we've been talking about, trying to get back to God's standards for masculinity and femininity. But we have been infected by the thinking of women who started a movement called feminism. Gloria Steinem was one of those. And in 1972, in the Declaration of Feminism drawn up in Minneapolis, Gloria Steinem said, "We must reform and abolish the institution of legal marriage. Marriage has existed for the benefit of men. The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women. We must work to destroy it." Did you hear that? Did you hear what Gloria Steinem said? We must abolish the institution of legal marriage. We must work to destroy it. Now that is the foundation of feminism. In a recent television interview, Germaine Greer described what she called her, quote, outlaw kind of sex life, and went on to say, "Marriage should be a socioeconomic contract. Marrying someone you're in love with is crazy stuff." When Dick Cavett asked whether she had anything good to say about marriage, her answer was, "Nope." What about God? She left no doubt about where she stood on that subject. "I don't believe in God," she said. "If there is a God, I don't like him. I mean, the idea. He and I will be on opposite sides. I'll be in guerrilla warfare. If he's up there, and I can't quote the exact words here because it would be very offensive. What is he doing?" was the sum and substance. From my book, The Mark of a Man, "You can't be human and not be a sexual creature. You can't be human and not be made in the image of God. You can't be human and not be a bearer of mystery. You can't be man in relation to woman and not be skirting very close to one of the deepest mysteries of all. Masculinity is a mystery. Femininity is a mystery. And both speak of the deepest mystery that we know anything about, which is the mystery of Christ and his church." Now I know that women in some degree have suffered from stereotypes, and men have too. And I hear liberators say, "Let's get rid of the stereotypes. Stereotypes lock us in. They're nothing but social conditioning." Well, I agree, but what I disagree with is the belief that masculinity is merely a stereotype. Many of our notions are accurate reflections of archetypes. Archetypes are forms of a strongly emotional character, which in some way reflect the internal structure of the world. Try to make a distinction now in your own mind between stereotypes, the things which society expects us to be and do, and archetypes, which reflect the internal structure of the world. Well, who's responsible for the internal structure of the world? God is. Archetypes are the original models or patterns from which all other things of the same kind are made, a very different thing from social conditioning. Psychologists sometimes describe belief in God as a father as nothing more than a projection of the stereotyped father. It never seems to occur to these psychologists that if two things are alike, then one ought to ask the question as to whether the first is copied from the second, or the second from the first. Why should it not be at least as logical to assume that human fathers are copies of the original? Well, those who take the Bible as their rule, which I certainly do, see God as the archetype. From him are derived all ideas of what fathers ought to be. To do away with mere stereotypes because they have become useless or burdensome can be a healthy thing. But if in the effort to get rid of them, we mistakenly attack what are really archetypes, we're in trouble. Promising to liberate and illuminate, we have lately limited and obscured the truth of our sexual nature. Now, C.S. Lewis had quite a few interesting things to say about the subject of masculinity and femininity. He brings out the fact that God is so masculine that all creation is feminine by comparison. The sun has always been seen in ancient lore as masculine, and the earth as feminine. The sun acts upon the earth, and the earth receives the sun's action. We could compare that to human sexuality, couldn't we? And then the imagery in Scripture. There's a lot of masculine imagery referring to God. The Lord on high is mighty, mightier than the waves of the sea. The Lord rides on the wings of the wind. He speaks in the thunder. Our God is a consuming fire, fearsome, awesome, majestic. Creation is subject to him. Femininity means subjection, response, surrender, receiving, carrying, bearing. And masculinity means responsibility, the naming of the animals and of Eve. Adam was called to be a steward of all creation, including woman, a caretaker, a caregiver, shall we say, the one who, under God, takes care of all the earth. I've been talking about a call to masculinity. The book I've written on that subject is called The Mark of a Man. God bless you, men.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.